Hello and welcome to our program. Today we're looking in John chapter 21, one of the most remarkable chapters in all of the Bible. Here we find the disciples of Christ literally turning their backs on him and walking away. What a sad story. Stay tuned. John chapter 21, the story here takes place in the very spot where Jesus had said to Peter, "Follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men." Here in this particular story, he said, "I don't want to be fishers of men. I'm going back to my business. I go a fishing." We have a responsibility to be fishers of men. Let's make sure that we're doing our jobs.
Hear the Lord of harvest sweetly calling, who will go and work for me today? Who will go and bring the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? Listen to their sad and bitter cry. Hasten, brother, hasten to the rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I. Soon the time for reaping will be over. Soon we'll gather to our harvest home. May the Lord of harvest smile upon us. May we hear his blessed child, well done. Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord, speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord, speak.
Again, we're in John chapter 21. We're going to look at the context of this chapter, the choice the disciples made, the consequences of those choices, and the amazing compassion of Christ. In verse number 1 and 2, we see the context here. We read, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas, and called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples." It says, after these things. This meeting took place after the resurrection. Christ had met with these men on the two previous Sundays, and now they were meeting at the Sea of Tiberias, which is also called the Sea of Galilee. The reason they were there was Christ had commanded them to meet him there in Matthew 28 and 16. The verse continues here, verse number 1, on this wise showed he himself, referring to what took place during their meeting in Matthew 28, 17, tells us they worshipped him. However, when they heard what he had to say, we read, some doubted. Strong says that word means wavered. By worshiping him, they acknowledged that they were meeting with the Son of God. However, doubting him shows that they simply didn't like what he had to say. They wavered. Before we get too critical concerning their attitude, we would do well to realize our churches are filled with many people who do the same thing week after week. Jesus showed himself. We read here that Jesus showed himself. Verse 14 tells us that this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. The word showed has been translated make manifest 19 times, manifest 9 times, be manifest twice, and manifestly declared 1 time. The first time the word manifest is used in the New Testament, it is in Luke chapter 8, verse number 17, where Jesus said, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known." Jesus was telling his disciples what was next concerning his plan for their lives, and they did not like what they heard. Because of their attitude and their action, the cause of their attitude that led to their actions had to do with God's will for their lives. Jesus had said in Matthew 28 and 16, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Well, when Christ gave them these orders, they immediately turned and walked away. Verse 3 tells us, Simon Peter saith unto him, "I go fishing." We read, the disciples said, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. What's the problem here? Well, they wanted the kingdom. They wanted the Lord to set up his kingdom and kick out the Romans, and they would have power and prestige. Preaching or pastoring churches was not what they wanted to do. They had their focus on a literal kingdom and the power that would come with it. The disciples thought that Christ was going to boot out the Romans, set up his kingdoms, and the disciples would each have a throne. Luke 19:11 tells us they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. After his resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, Acts 1, verse number 3. Christ would have explained the fact that the kingdom was not going to be a reality for 2,000 years. Instead of their coveted throne representing power, they would face persecution. Rather than a position of authority, they would be pastors, and pastors would be held in contempt and finally crucified like Christ was. Instead of being served, they would serve. Peter's response was, "Well, you can just forget that plan. I go a-fishing," and the rest of the disciples said, "We also go with thee." Next, we see the tremendous compassion of Christ. For over 3 years, the Lord had given his life for these men. They had heard him preach. They had watched him calm the storms on the very sea in which this story takes place. They witnessed the raising of the dead. They witnessed the miraculous feeding of the multitudes with a handful of food. They watched as he healed the blind, the deaf, and others who were sick. They had recently witnessed the scene in the garden when he was arrested. They watched the horrible beatings and the crucifixion, and Christ did it all for them. Their response? They immediately turned their backs on Christ and went back to their old life. They cared nothing about how Christ felt. They left him alone. It says, Jesus stood on the shore. Get the picture. See Christ standing alone, watching them all walk away. Much is said in the scriptures about where people stand. We read Judas stood with those who crucified the Son of God. In John 18:5, we read Judas, which betrayed him, stood with them. Sadly, within a very short period of time in the same chapter, we read Peter also stood with them. The officers that arrested Christ stood at their campfire warming themselves. In John 18:18, tells us that Peter stood with them. Peter stood with the officers who had bound Christ and later mocked him and whipped him and crowned him with thorns and crucified him. In chapter 18:25, we read, And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. The word stood in John 21:4, Jesus stood on the shore, is an interesting word. It has been translated established 5 times. It has been translated stand still 4 times. We read in verse 4, But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Jesus was there all night. We read the fishermen back in their fishing industry, their choice and their consequence. They caught nothing. And verse 4 tells us they saw Jesus standing on the shore in the morning, and we read the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So we have 2 consequences of their choice. First, we see the time wasted. They caught nothing. And second, consequences, having turned their back on Christ, they lost all spiritual perception. When we choose to turn our backs on the Lord, we turn our backs on all spiritual understanding. He called them children. In verse 5, Christ referred to them as children. This is a term of endearment, and it is also referring to someone below the age of full development. Spiritually, these men had some growing up to do. In verses 18 and 19, Christ made a striking comparison of Peter's spiritual status, comparing where he was that morning and where he would be later. He said to Peter, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whithersoever thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Well, they fished all night, they hadn't caught anything, and Jesus says to them, You need to cast the net on the right side. Now, to cast is to throw forcibly in a specified direction. Verse 6 says, And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. In verse 7 we read, Peter cast himself into the sea. When John told Peter it was Christ on the shore, he immediately made for shore. Verse 8 tells us that it's a 350-foot swim, that is 200 cubits. While the other disciples were focusing on the fish, Peter was focusing on the Lord. In his heart, Peter knew what direction he wanted to go, and he was not ashamed to let everyone know it. Well, in verse number 9, we have a fire of coals. It says, As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. The phrase fire of coals is only found one other time in the scriptures. Prior to the crucifixion of Christ, we read in John 18:18, And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. It was at this fire of coals that Peter stood with the officers, who in verse 22 had struck Jesus in the face. In John chapter 21, Peter stood at a fire of coals with his Savior. I've heard some messages on the failure of Peter. I don't think he failed. Peter never really failed. He faltered the night at the crucifixion, and he faltered that night here in John 21 on the shore. However, he never failed. To fail is to quit. Proverbs 24, verse number 16 says, "For a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. To quit is to fail." Perhaps Peter was thinking back at this point to the time recorded in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, that records the incident when these men were called to follow the Lord. At that time, Peter and all that were with him were astonished at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Jesus said unto him, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." The command was plain, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Well, here we have a twofold invitation, first to come and the second to dine. To come is to move closer to a predetermined place or person. To dine is yet another decision. How few Christians there are that make the second choice. There's nothing recorded concerning what they discussed while they dined. Perhaps it was a time of just silent contemplation. Maybe. In verse 15 we read, "So when they had dined, Jesus again spoke, and he spoke specifically to Peter, and he spoke openly to him before all the others." It was time for Peter to make things right. In verse 15, in the presence of all the others, we read, "Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Peter thought he loved the Lord more than any of the rest of the disciples did. Peter had previously said, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended," Matthew 26, verse number 33. Was it because of this that Jesus publicly asked Peter if he loved him more than these? Or was Christ referring to Peter loving him more than that big catch of fish and the money that it represented? Peter answered, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Peter ignored the "more than these" part of the Lord's question. Christ answered, "Feed my lambs." Peter needed to get his focus off a throne and focus on the many children who needed to be taken care of in a spiritual way. Jesus didn't say, "Feed my sheep" here. He said, "Feed my lambs. Feed my little sheep." Isaiah 40, verse number 11 says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Peter had deeply wounded the Lord by his actions and hurt his own standing among the rest of the disciples. For this reason, as well as for his own sake, Peter needed to publicly express his sin of walking away from the Lord the night before and leading the rest to do the same. In verse 16, he says to him again, the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." The word "feed" here is different than to simply feed, carrying with it the command to tend as a shepherd. In verse 17, we read, "He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved. The word "grieved" here was translated "be sorrowful" six times. To make sorry six times. Be sorry three times. Sorrow three times. And be in heaviness once. It was very important that Peter should be sorry for his actions and that everyone should understand that he was, if he was going to be used of the Lord in the future. The Bible says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance." So, Peter, here's the deciding time. Are you in or are you out? Christ made it plain. To follow Christ was not going to be a bed of roses. There would be no fancy palace with a throne. Christ said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whithersoever thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." If Peter was going to follow Christ, it would mean a complete sacrifice and a total surrender to the will of God, even if no other person would join him. This was the last time Christ would say, "Follow me." It was God's final call for Peter. Peter, like Joshua said, Jesus said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Peter publicly chose to follow the Lord. He rejected the way of the world, faced the tests, the trials, the tribulation, and the torture that came from being a true follower of Christ. In Acts 1 and 15, we read Peter stood. In Acts 2:14, we see Peter standing. In Acts 12 and 16, we read Peter continued. Peter is mentioned 58 times in the book of Acts and had the privilege of writing two books in the Bible that the Lord put Peter's name on. Compassion, but no compromise. Jesus stood on the shore. Perhaps this shows the compassion of Christ more than any other verse in the Bible. Christ found his sheep, and when they had a godly sorrow unto repentance, he forgave his sheep, which once again made fellowship with his sheep possible, and he could feed his sheep. We read Jesus stood on the shore. We do not read that he sat in the ship with them, and we do not read that he met them halfway. To do that would be to compromise. How we need to learn this lesson in this age of compromise. Well, we have five little words here. Jesus stood on the shore. I think it shows the love of Christ perhaps more than anywhere else in all of the scriptures. Jesus stood on the shore.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest saints and angels.